بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسنة المتصل إلى الشيخ الحافظ الحجة أمير المؤمنين في الحديث أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن مغيرة البردزبة الجعفي البخاري رحمهم الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين أنه قال باب التجارة في البحر. Most respected elders and friends, all the people that are listening to this program, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the 12th Tarjumatul Bab of Kitabul Buyu, the book of Islamic Finance, Business and Economics of Bukhari Sharif. The subject matter for today is Tijarat Fil Bahar. One is a person does business at home or in his village, in his town, in his city, in his province, in his country, in his continent. And one is to go beyond that to travel through the sea to other parts of the world. What we term as overseas. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, he attempts to explain that just as it is permissible for a person to search for his sustenance beyond the ocean, it is also permissible for a person to search for his sustenance on the other side of the ocean as well, to travel overseas to other parts of the world to search for his rizq and to search for his sustenance. The purpose of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi highlighting this topic is, it is mentioned in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, لا يركب البحر إلا حاج أو غاض في سبيل الله. If a person wishes to go for Hajj, or if a person wishes to go out in jihad in the path of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, then only a person may travel through the seas. From the apparent of this hadith, it appears as though if a person wishes to travel overseas for tijarat, for trade purposes, then it should not be permissible. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi wishes to remove this misconception and he discusses the issue in much detail. When we research the various ayats and ahadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding seas and oceans, there are two different angles and dimensions to it. According to one angle and one dimension of traveling over the ocean, we understand the ocean, the seas, they are a great ni'mat and a great bounty of Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. In one verse of the Quran Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ. Verily, in the creation of the sky and the earth, in the alternating of the day and the night, and in those ships that carry goods and merchandise which is beneficial for mankind, the verse goes on in which Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. In that, there are signs for nation who, for that nation, who would heed advice. Now from this verse, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to traveling on the ocean, traveling through the seas, as a great bounty of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. In another verse, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala refers to ocean and the seas as we as human beings, we have been given that honor that the ocean and the seas and whatever is contained in it is being subordinated to us. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَالَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْبَحْرِ. Allah is the one who has subordinated the ocean for you. لِتَأْكُلُوا مِنْهُ لَحْمًا طَرِيًّا. So that you may eat fresh meat, referring to a fish of the ocean. And you may also take out the pearls that are contained in the ocean and adorn yourself with it. In another verse of the Quran al-Kareem, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to traveling in the ocean as a pride and respect, dignity and honor for mankind. He says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمْ وَحَمَلْنَاهُمْ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحَرِ. We have honored mankind and we have carried him on the lands and in the ocean. Now from all these verses we understand traveling on the oceans, traveling through the seas and benefiting from the great ni'mats and bounties of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala that are contained in the seas, in the oceans is perfectly permissible and it is a ni'mat and a bounty of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. But when we look at other ayats of the Quran al-Kareem, another angle and another dimension, it appears as though the oceans and the seas, they are used by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala as a means of punishment. And Allah tabarak wa ta'ala refers to an incident of Musa alayhi salatu wa salam and Fir'aun. Allah ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam to take the Banu Israel, to liberate them and move away with them. He comes to the Red Sea. The Banu Israel told to Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, inna la mudrakun. Here Fir'aun is behind us with a huge powerful army. We are now being caught. Musa alayhi salatu wa salam focused on Allah tabarak wa ta'ala and he told, inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen. My Allah is with me, Allah will guide. That's when Allah tabarak wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, take your stick, hit it in the ocean. And Allah refers to it, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرِ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ. Remember that ocean, we have made pathways for it through which we rescued you, the Banu Israel, and we have drowned Fir'aun and his people in it. Likewise, in another verse of the Quran al-Kareem, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala likens the actions of the kuffar. The kufr, the shirk, the evil that they do, he likens it to the dark oceans and the darkness of the waves of the sea. He says in the Quran al-Kareem, أَوْ كَظُلُمَاتٍ فِي بَحْرِ اللُّجِّيِّ يَخْشَاهُ مَوْجٌ مِّن فَوْقِهِ سَحَابٌ ظُلُمَاتٌ بَعْدُهَا فَوْقَ بَعْدٍ. The actions of the kuffar are such, they are like the darkness of the waves of the sea, where one wave is above another wave, and above the wave there is a dark cloud. Darkness of the cloud, darkness of the waves, and the darkness of the waves below it. That إِذَا أَخْرَجَ يَدَهُ لَمْ يَكَدْ يَرَاهَا. Then if you have to take out your hands in such darkness, you would not be able to see your own hands. So from these verses we understand that Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala uses the ocean as a means of punishment for people. Now, in the ancient times, traveling through the ocean, traveling through the sea used to be very, very challenging. People had to contend with stormy weathers. The ocean, the seas, the waters of the seas would come into our ships, come into our boats, flood the boats, the boats would sink, boats would either capsize, and at times the boats would break into pieces. In some instances they had to deal with sea monsters, and at times they had to deal with the long waves and the short waves of the ocean. Now nowadays with technology, most of these challenges have been overcome. But in spite of that, there are still challenges nowadays. Many of us must have heard of the Titanic, which is known to be such a powerful ship that people used to say it would never ever sink, the unsinkable. But the first voyage it went out in the ocean, from the time the ship was being listed, within 3 hours' time it sank into ocean. Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala shows His power, His Qudrat. 1 century later, just about 2 years ago, we heard of the ship, a very powerful ship that had a bigger spar on the ship. And within few moments of listing, that ship also disappeared in the ocean. Likewise, nowadays we hear in the media, print media, electronic media, of the desperate journeys of people from Morocco, from Egypt, from Libya, traveling on the small dingy boats and trying to cross the meridian and coming right into the coast of Italy. And the recent past 4,000 people, at least 4,000 people have sank into the ocean. Besides that, many commercial ships, when they travel on the east of Somalia, we heard of the pirates hijacking the ships. So, the challenges in today's time, in spite of technology, still remains. Now, many people think traveling over the ocean, it is only traveling by ship or traveling by the boats. But traveling by aeroplane is also traveling over the ocean. How often we heard of aeroplanes crashing into the ocean? Sometimes you take a transatlantic flight and the flight goes direct into the ocean. Up till now, the Malaysian airline MH370 is a mystery. French airline, the Concorde, dived directly into the ocean. The reasons of it are unknown. They're looking for the black box, looking for technical reasons. Whatever the case may be, the challenges are still there today. And therefore, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported to have mentioned, La yarkabul bahar illa ghadin aw hajin fi sabilillah. Even in today's time, if it is possible for a person not to travel over the ocean, the person should avoid doing that. Especially nowadays with a political situation, there are hot spots around the world, especially in Europe, Turkey, France, these are hot spots around the world, and the political climate is very, very bad. Aeroplanes have been targeted, and it is very unsafe for people to travel. So as far as possible, if it's possible for a person to avoid traveling, the person should avoid traveling. If there's an absolute need, that's a different issue, but as far as possible, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned to us, As-safar qit'atum min al-azab. Traveling, it is a form of azab. Not that Allah is punishing, but it is very difficult for a person when he travels. يَمْنَعُ طُعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَ. That the person is unable to eat on time, person unable to drink on time, the person unable to sleep on time, his entire schedule of life goes in a different way until he returns home. So therefore, nowadays, when a person travels, we can take all our necessary precautions. But when you are sitting in the ship, nowadays mostly people travel by plane, never ever forget to read our du'as. Turn to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Many people that are engaged in import and export, people are traveling overseas for business purposes. You have to travel, you go search for your rozi, it's an act of ibadat. But when you're sitting in a plane, then the least you can do, the last resort, is now to turn to Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala and ask Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for His protection. And therefore, there's one hadith. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, it was a sunnah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كَانَ إِذَا اسْتَوَى عَلَى بَعِيرِ خَارِجًا إِلَى سَفَرٍ. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he should sit and mount on an animal going out on a journey, كَبَّرَ ثَلَاثًا. He would say 3 times, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Focusing on Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read this dua, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ لَنَا هَذَا. Oh Allah, this animal that I'm mounted on, this vehicle that I'm mounted on, this means of transport that I am mounted on, only You have subordinated it to us. That means, وَمَا كُنَّا لَهُ مُقْرِنِينَ. We would never be able to subordinate this, especially traveling the aeroplanes. Modern mode of transport, beyond our control. Whatever you can do is technical, mechanical. But everything is in the hand of Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to make this dua. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi safarina hadha al-birra wa taqwa. Oh Allah, we ask of you in this journey of ours, virtue and taqwa. Wa min al-amali ma tarda. And we ask you those amal, those actions through which you are happy. When a person is traveling, when a person musafir, going to the different parts of the world, always keep the pleasure of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The challenges in the outside world are too many. Shaitan is also there, fitna is also there, so therefore, always be conscious of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allahumma hawwin alayna safarana hadha. Oh Allah, make the safar easy upon us, watwi anna bu'da, and wrap up the distance of this journey. Allahumma anta sahibu fi safar. Oh Allah, you are our colleague in this journey, wal khalifatu fi ahl, and you are my deputy in my family. A person leaves home, he's worried about his wife, he's worried about his children, he's worried about his family, he's gone abroad. When if he were at home, he would able to control issues. But he's out of home, now he can only turn to Allah and say, Allah, you be my deputy at home. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min wa'atha'is safar. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from the evils of the safar, wa ka'abatil mandar, from bad sights, wa su'il munqalab fil mali wal ahl, and of evil return in my family and in my wealth. This is the dua when a person undertakes for a journey, turn to Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Now, once again coming back to our subject matter, we discussed last week that import and export is an international norm. 90% of the world's trade today is on sea trade, or goods being transported on the sea, import and export. And there are approximately 50,000 ships at any given time around the world that is transporting cargo from one part of the world to another part of the world. We discussed few issues last week that is very challenging for businessmen. One is the issue of FEC, Forward Exchange Contract. This is the conventional method of forward exchange contract where you conclude a deal to buy dollars today for the future. That is not according to Sharia, because this is a future deal. You're doing a deal today for example, 3 months time or 6 months time, although you're doing it to lock in the dollar price, because the dollar price keep on fluctuating, but from the Sharia point of view, it is not permissible. What is the alternative to that? Likewise, we also mentioned certain practices of people doing import and export to evade taxation. People would import non-taxable items, or in the name of non-taxable item, taxable items to avoid taxation. Under invoicing, also very, very common, where you would pay the person, for example, 100,000 rand on the other side, and you tell him to invoice you for 50,000 rand so that you could pay lesser taxes. Or, for example, items will come in South Africa, and if it is meant for another country, for example, Swaziland or Botswana, it is tax deductible. People would take it to our borders, get the papers done, bring it back into our country to avoid taxation. What is the Sharia perspective of that? We'll come back with the answers, but let us deal with what Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi discusses on At-Tijaratu fil Bahar. Doing trade and business in the ocean, he quotes a tabi'i wa qala matar la ba'sa bihi. Matar is a tabi'i. He was known as Warraq, a person who used to write the Quran al-Kareem with his hands. وَمَا ذَكَرُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ. He says, what Almighty Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem is nothing but the truth. And then he quotes an ayat of the Quran al-Kareem to support the view that it is permissible to travel on the ocean to do tijarat and trade. Allah says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَتَرَى الْفُلْكَ فِيهِ مَوَاخِرِ. You would see the ships in the ocean that are tearing through the water, tearing through the winds, لِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ, so that you may seek the grace of Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Then Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi deals with some technical issues, linguistic issues of the Arabic language, where he speaks about the words sufun, fulk, singular, wahid, singular, plural, all of it being the same. Again, he deals with a technical issue of small boats and big boats. And finally, he quotes a hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, انه ذكر رجلا من بني اسرائيل خرج في البحر فقضى حاجته وساق الحديث. Very very interesting incident. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala narrated from Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about a person from the Banu Israel. Once he came out toward the ocean and he came to fulfill his need, and then he narrates the entire hadith. He's referring to a hadith. I decided that I should narrate the entire hadith to you. Very very interesting, thought provoking hadith, which could be a means of Islam for every one of us. The hadith is, I will read the Arabic and I will translate it. أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِّن بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ سَأَلَ بَعْضَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ يُسْلِفَهُ أَلْفَ دِينَارِ. One person from the Banu Israel, from the past nations, he asked another person from the Banu Israel to borrow him 1,000 dinars. So قَالَ إِئْتِنِي بِشُهَدَىٰ أُشْهِدُهُمْ. So a person that was being asked the debt, he told the person, present some witness to me that you have taken a loan from me and some guarantee that you'll pay the debt out. So a person that was asking the loan, he told, Kafa billahi shahida. You are asking me for a witness, I have no witness, Allah is the witness that I have taken a loan from you and I will pay the loan back to you. Then the creditor, the potential creditor, he told to the person asking the loan, itini bi kafil. Give me a guarantor that you have taken a loan and you would definitely pay the loan back. Somebody should have guarantee for that. Again, this person was all by himself. He told, kafa billahi kafila. I have no guarantor. My guarantor is none other than Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this person, he said, sadaqta. What you have said is true. That indeed Allah tabarak wa ta'ala would be a witness. Allah is your guarantor. So, fadafa'aha ilay ila ajal musamma. The person gave this person 1,000 dinars. No witnesses, nothing, totally relying on what this person have said. It so happened, the hadith goes on, that this person promised to pay on a particular time. But he had to take the boat, he had to take a ship, and he had to go on the other side of the ocean. When the appointed time came to pay the debt out, he took the 1,000 dinars, he came by the seashore, and he was looking for a boat to go on the other side of the ocean to pay the creditor out the money. But no boat was available. But this person was so conscious of paying his debt out. There was no boat available, so he took a wood. He carved it, he took the 1,000 dinars, and he put it inside there, and he took a note that this money is from me to you, the name of the debtor, the name of the creditor. And in the name of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, he threw it in the ocean. Thinking that Allah is my guarantor, Allah is my witness, Allah, he was hoping that this money, this wood will float, it'll go on the other side of the ocean and it will reach the creditor. He kept on searching for a boat, not that he just relied on this, he kept on searching for a boat, and then when he finally got the boat, he then went on the other side of the ocean. So he took another 1,000 dinars and he thought, what if that money I put into that wood, it did not reach the creditor. So he met his creditor on the other side of the ocean, and the creditor asked him, did you send something to me? He mentioned, yes, I took the 1,000 dinars, I carved it in a wood and I put it inside and I came to you and I sent it to you, hoping that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will make you get it. So a person then said, what you have done, what effort you have made, Almighty Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has sent your amanat over to me. I have received that money already. Now look at the consciousness in that person. If he wanted, he could have made excuses. Firstly, wouldn't pay. Or if he came to the ocean, he would say that there's no boat available. He did whatever was possible to ensure that he fulfilled the haq and the right of the creditor. And then he still made another effort to take a boat and go on the other side. And after it was, he was sure that the creditor got his money. He felt satisfied. He returns home with his 1,000 dinars. Great lesson for us to learn in this. With this incident, Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi, he proves the point. from this hadith that it is permissible for a person to travel in the ocean. There was a need here for a person to travel, to go on the other side of the ocean. And through that he concludes that if there's a need for a person to travel in the ocean, travel in the sea for tijara, for trade purposes, it would be perfectly permissible. Now reverting to the issue of FEC, forward exchange contracts. The Sharia alternative would that, of that would be, when we look at why it is prohibited, it's a future sale. You're doing a sale now for the future. According to Sharia, when you conclude that deal, you conclude the deal now. I have sold you this motor vehicle. You have accepted the motor vehicle. You're concluding the deal now. You're not concluding a deal now for the future where you say that I'm selling you the car in December and you buy the car in December, but you're concluding the deal now. That's a future deal. You have to, concluding a deal, you have to do it immediately on the spot. That's the reason why FEC is not permissible, because it's a future deal. The Sharia alternative to that is that you enter into a promissory agreement with the bank. We have spoken to quite a few banks, and alhamdulillah, after having convincing them, it fits also within the system. Many people that are engaged in import and export, their banks would facilitate for them, and they would enter into a promissory agreement with the bank, where they would tell the bank that I promise to purchase dollars for X amount of money 3 months' time. So you're not concluding the deal, you are making a promise to conclude the deal. You are making a promise to purchase the dollars. This is a one-side promise, not a two-sided promise. If you do a two-sided promise, that's bilateral, that is concluding the deal, that's a contract that's not Sharia compliant. Again, it will come back to the same thing, it will be a future deal. But if it's a one-sided promise, now contemporary ulama, in view of the need in trade and business, they have permitted to make this one-sided promise compulsory and binding upon the individual. So the person was promised to buy dollars at a certain price 3 months down the line. When the time comes, that's the time you conclude the deal. And that will be Sharia compliant. If the person doesn't purchase the dollars, if there's any harm lost to a bank, the person will suffer the consequences of it. The other issue about the import and export, all the issue that I referred to, the under-invoicing, avoiding taxation, there are two issues to consider. One is, we understand the oppressive laws of taxation. In some places, the taxes are quite exorbitant, and in some places, we could even declare it to be something that is oppressive because it's so exorbitant. So we do understand sometimes people that are engaged in import and export, they want to avoid this oppressive laws of taxation. Secondly, Sharia encourages free trade, where you'll be able to travel from one country to another country, bring import, export, that is interest of the consumer. Now if a person, if there's these kind of restrictions where you're suppressing free trade, so that's also not according to Sharia. All that is said and done. However, to speak a white lie, sometime in doing these kind of things, you have to speak an open lie, white lie, according to Sharia, that is not permissible. Secondly, these are the laws of the country. They are administrative laws. In one hadith, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi reported to have mentioned, لا ينبغي لمؤمن أن يزل نفسه. It's not appropriate for a person to humiliate himself, put himself in a disgraceful situation. Now, if you violate the law, then you will be penalized. Your license will be revoked. You will be put in a disgraceful situation. Sometime you will become the subject matter of the media. Especially if you being a Muslim and you could be a prominent businessman, you get caught up in these kind of things and the media hits it, then you are one person, but it gives a bad image for Islam and for the Muslims. So therefore, we need to be very, very careful and conscious in how we deal with import and we deal with export issues. We make dua, Almighty Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala grant us tawfiq and hidayah to do all our muamalat according to Sharia, and Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala gives lot of khair, lot of barakat to all our businessmen, especially those people that are engaged in import and export. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. سبحان الله وبحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.